Welcome to the Global Discussion, discussions with creatives, leaders, and thinkers. My name is Simon Hodgkins. Today, real pleasure to be joined by Gabriel Cohen. Gabriel, you're very welcome to the show. Let's begin by asking you to introduce yourself and tell our international audience about everything that you're involved in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks so much for having me on. I love being on something international because despite my English accent, I describe myself as a Brazilian-American-adian, born in Brazil. I'm the only one in my family who speaks English like this. Portuguese was actually my first language. Spent 26 in the UK, moved to the US to go to business school, where I started working for one of the world's largest brand consulting firm. Got to work on some amazing global brands internationally. Spent 4 years in Canada. And then moved back to the US, had a couple of years at an analytics, marketing analytics startup. And for the last 10 years, I've been at an independent brand agency, brand consulting, design and experience firm called Monogal, based in Denver, as the CMO. I'm also part of an incredible organization called the CMO Club, or as we're now branded, Club CMO. And I'm part of the Denver chapter leadership team here. And that's the quick background.
Very good. And yeah, look, you're in the right place because we love talking to creatives. You certainly have that from your background, working for one of those huge companies that you referenced earlier. And of course, you know, being the CMO of a company in that space, I'm sure you're involved in everything from AI through to the basics and everything in between. So it's wonderful to have you. And also to have that international maybe viewpoint, which I know is very, very helpful, particularly in your line of work. So could you tell us maybe a little bit more about Monogal though? Because I know that's kind of what you're focused on at the moment. And as a CMO, what are you actually working on there? How does that work for you?
Yeah, so let's talk about what we mean by being at a brand consultancy, because that helps explain the Monogal part. But I think for the audience, it's more interesting to hear about the notion idea of brand. Branding as a discipline has evolved a lot, and I think we're going through, I'd say a third cycle now of redefinition and reimagining of what this discipline is. So what do I mean by that? You know, the first wave really of brand was around this notion of identification, right? Which was around how do you use a logo and your colors to identify with a brand. The second generation was really this notion of a positioning, right? How do you create a brand that positions in order to win and salience? And then the third wave that was really driven by the advent of digital was moving brand from just being an idea of what we communicate and what we say to it being a filter for everything that we do. It's not necessarily a new idea, right? You can think of as Apple as always having, or many brands and companies having brand at the center in many ways of the business strategy. There's more conversations, understanding of brand as a business asset. How do you connect the brand and business? How can the brand be a catalyst? And how they use brand and how they contextualize it is very different based from a number of factors, from how the CEO and the leadership thinks about it to where they are from a maturity curve standpoint.
Oh, great points. Thank you for sharing that. And one of the things I want to ask you that you kind of raised there was about how brand can sort of drive the bottom line, can drive the organization, can help the revenue growth, et cetera. And we seem to live in a noisy environment, a noisy world. Every company is chasing leads and customers. And yet there's this discussion around investing in the brand and maybe that more medium to longer term thought process strategy, building up that brand compared to, say, maybe the relatively short to medium aspects of direct marketing, direct results, direct lead generation and building. Do you find that is often a push-pull environment when you're talking to big clients and global customers that you have? Or has everybody got that memo?
No, I don't think everybody has got the memo. I think that the more sophisticated marketers understand the concept that it's an and. I love the metaphor of the fact that you need to, you need to water the tree, and then you pick up the fruits, right? But you, the picking the fruits part is the performance marketing. It's the short term, but you have to also water the tree. And there's been a lot of great research that's been done by the Ehrenberg Institute in Australia around how if the combination of brand marketing and performance marketing over the long term leads to better outcomes over time. I think that what's happened over the last decade or so is this notion of performance marketing has, because so much of that is digital, because it's easier to measure, in many cases, it's easier to go to a CFO and say, look, can I get budget for this investment where I can show a direct, I can tie it to a direct ROI, whereas trying to drive the connection to brand. And the other thing is, to your point, in a very, very noisy environment that we're in, if you have built a brand that stands for something and that stands out, that's become a more valuable asset than ever.
I really like that. I like that a lot. And sometimes the simplest pictures help to illustrate the point. And just watering the tree in its simplicity and its brilliance is that you don't water the tree, there won't be any fruit somewhere down the line, and that tree is going to be in trouble. I really like that. Thank you for sharing that insight. So in this noisy world of AI, let's come on to that a moment. So AI is producing content, you know, humans are producing content. Everybody's out there busy, busy, busy. Has that changed? Has this new wave of technology changed the way they're approaching things with customers? Is it business as usual? And is there sort of any advice that you find yourselves sharing now we find ourselves in this generative AI world? Is it changing much in your world?
We're so early in this, Simon, that it's hard to even start to fathom how things will be in 4 to 5 years' time. I look at what's happening AI in the context of brand, in the same way that what the internet did for brands. I think that what smartphones have done, right? Like, could we have fathomed or imagined an Uber existing before, right? That's what that enabled. So I think that there's going to be aspects of AI that are going to create new business models, new opportunities that, again, we can't imagine today. But I think that in the context of brand and marketing, it's going to drive, I think, a lot of efficiencies. It's going to allow us to be able to do a lot more with less. I don't think it changes some of the fundamentals in the same way that when you think about digital, the internet, all those things, it still doesn't change the fundamentals of brand building and marketing, which is understanding your audience and customer behavior. AI, understanding how to use AI as a brand builder is going to help and accelerate. But I'm sure it's what you've heard from lots of other people say. It's not that AI is going to replace, it's the people that understand how to use it and apply it are the ones that are going to be able to make a difference with them.
And as a large, I suppose, one of the country's largest sort of independent brand experience firms, right? What does the next 6 to 12 months look like for you? How do you go about your planning? How do you go about that sort of day-to-day operations? Are you thinking a year in advance, a quarter in advance? How does that work in your world?
We've had to build different specific practice areas to reflect the growing role of brand inside client organizations. So what do I mean by that? So rather than just having a team that works on core brand foundation, we now have had to bring in people who understand how to build culture and how to connect brand to engagement. We have a whole new set of people with skill sets around experience design, both from a branded environment standpoint and doing customer journey doing customer journey mapping. The newest and probably most exciting area for us this year, as we think about our plan for 2024 and ahead, is a bit more of the connection to brand as a catalyst for business transformation. So starting to push a little bit into what you might think of as a management consulting realm, which is, okay, truly brand as a catalyst for change. So understanding what your core brand equities are, understanding some of the trends in the marketplace, and then thinking about, okay, how can we use this then in order to then move into a new market? So think of, for example, a big retailer. How does a big retailer that is known for electronics capitalize on the trends towards healthcare and the notion of the connected home and healthcare in the home? So that just requires a new way of thinking. I think that's what organizations are demanding more, right? Is you as a partner, as an agency, as a consultant, you have to support in actually driving business results, not just say, okay, here's your PowerPoint presentation, but what are those opportunities for growth? And so a big part of then that planning for us is also then the idea of building networks and partnerships. So we have joined a global independent agency network called Worldwide Partners. So I came from one of the big holding companies, right? You've got your Omnicoms, WPP, and for anyone who's unfamiliar, these big holding companies that are open on the stock exchange. So they're publicly traded companies. They snap up a lot of agencies. They might have 300 to 400, sometimes even more agencies in their portfolio, and the agencies have to report up into the holding companies. The idea of this independent group is you get all the benefits of having all these other partner agencies and other areas that do things that you don't necessarily specialize in. So for example, website design isn't something that we do. We're not experts in PR. We're not a media agency. And so now being part of a network where you've got these other agencies that not only have these complementary specialties, but also now give us a global presence. So if we have a client that has a need in South America or in Asia or in Europe, we now have agencies and partners in those areas where we can bring that local geographic market knowledge or bring a specific area of expertise. So those are the things that we've really been working on.
Well, thank you for sharing that insight, because a lot of those big giant juggernauts of the marketing advertising industry world, they do buy up lots of agencies around the world. They seem to get bigger and bigger. Yes, they've got their own challenges in that too. But it is interesting when you look at it from the more the independent view and building that sort of umbrella group globally, so you can work on those global client projects. It makes an awful lot of sense. And
yeah, I was going to say something. So just lastly, so it's funny. So we actually refer to it as a reverse holding company. One, we elect a board that's made up of people from the agencies, including a president. So the CEO of Worldwide Partners and that team is accountable actually to the board representing the agencies.
Yeah, I like that. The reverse sort of organizational view of that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? It leads me on to something that I did want to ask you though, and that's really back to this chief marketing officer role. You know, as a fellow CMO, the chief marketing officers today seem to be asked to do an awful lot more than maybe a CMO 10 years ago. The technology stack has changed. The technology for sure has changed, you know, just AI being one of those changes. The customer requirements are different. You know, delivering results is different. Managing stakeholders are different. That push and pull between generating leads and investing in the brand and watering the tree. It seems to be quite a complicated, complex task to be a successful chief marketing officer today. It's not an easy role.
It's not. And I think it connects a little bit back to the point I was saying earlier, which is that, you know, even in the context of brand, right, as the discipline of brand is involved, if you just think about the brand portion of what a CMO might be responsible for, you go and talk to 10 CMOs at 10 different organizations, and you'll see them be vastly responsible for different things. You've got this appendage to titles and responsibilities. There's a great cartoon done by Tom Fishbourne, is a brilliant cartoonist. He does a weekly cartoon. It's called The Marketoonist, and there's a great one about the number of hats that CMOs are wearing, and then someone's coming over and then adding the crown, the AI crown, and saying, like, could you stick this on top of your hats? And it's these hats that go on that go a mile up. And there was also a great, I think more importantly, there was a couple of brilliant Harvard Business Review studies over the last 2, 3 years talking about the changing role of the CMO. And it's not necessarily that the role, it's not about the change, it's about aligning the types of expertise that you need with a specific company. So there was one of these HBR reports that talks about the seven different almost like CMO personas, which is, if your CEO thinks like this, or if your organization is in this stage, and here are the priorities, here are the types of things that you need to be focused on primarily as a CMO. My former business school professor, Neil Morgan, did an amazing study where with a couple of colleagues, and this was published in HBR, they identified 72 different functions that the marketing team can own. And the reality is, it's impossible to have that level of expertise in these 72 different functions. Half of those functions are externally focused, and half of those functions are internally focused. So what does marketing do for the business? Internal alignment, building common metrics. And what he says is that what CMOs need to do is identify what are the priorities going to be, because strategy isn't saying, I'm going to do everything. Strategy is deciding what we're not going to do. And that's really important, because I think we need to build, I think a CMO in each organization needs to establish and build, what is the value proposition for marketing in that organization? Is it a sales driver? Right? Is it a lead gen engine? That might seem obvious. You might say yes, but in for some organizations, that might not be the number one thing. Is it going to have a connection to culture, to experience, to internal alignment? What role does it play in innovation? What role does it play in product and product design? What role does it play in pricing?
And I love the marketoonist hat stack and the AI crown on the top. That's a great visual. Look, before we run out of time, Gabriel, thanks for sharing all that insight, knowledge, and viewpoint. But I do want to ask you if there's anything else maybe we haven't touched on, or anything you want to leave our audience with today as maybe some food for thought. And secondly, before we go, let's let people know that if they want to get in touch with you, with Monagle, or to find out more about the things you're involved in, where do you want to point people towards?
We should always be thinking about our lives and our roles as always being in transition. And what are we moving? What are we moving? What are we moving to? Because otherwise we're standing still, and in reality that means that we're falling behind. Find me on LinkedIn, Gabriel Cohen. I have my own podcast. You can find that on the Monagle website, monagle.com. And really, the goal of that is, as I listen to dozens of marketing and brand podcasts, what I've always felt is that a lot of times they sound a bit like a PR exercise. And I wanted to create something where you can really get into the heart of the stories behind brand building. Some of those intersection moments where the thing nearly failed, or to get into what was the conversation that was happening in the boardroom with the C-suite, and where it nearly went off the rails, and what did you say and how did you handle that? It's those learnings that you just can't get from a textbook.
That brings us nicely to the end of our discussion here today on the Global Discussion. Thanks to everybody who's been watching or listening to us around the world. And I hope that you'll like, follow, subscribe, do everything I need you to do to help support the show. And maybe you'll join me back here for some more discussions with creatives and leaders and thinkers. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you again today.